This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. In the month of September, we are celebrating 70 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
When did you last conduct a careful examination of your motives? We're going to discuss this in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us a way of salvation, the only way, through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray today that we may be given the power by your Holy Spirit to hear that love being revealed to us in the Word, and then, O God, the grace to receive him as Savior and Lord. But we also pray not only that we may walk here as your children, but we may examine our lives, examine our motives, and truly ask ourselves, what is the purpose for all that I do? Grant, O God, that our motives might be pure. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Hear the word of God as first I read from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 8, another one of Jesus' Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 27, these rather harsh words of our Lord. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
God's Son has made me free. God's Son has made me free from Satan's tyranny, from fear of death and bonds of sin, from all that plagues my soul within. The Holy One Divine became a friend of mine. From heaven high, from starry sky, He came to live, to die. Oh, boundless love, He came, He died, He rose forever glorified. He came to give, to die that I might live. From heaven high, from starry sky, He came to die that I might live.
Friends in Christ, many of you are acquainted with the story of Jesus ministering to the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. But perhaps it needs a bit of a review. So let me tell it to you. It's recorded in the first part of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus had gone into the temple courts, and there he sat with a lot of people who were listening to him teach. In the midst of the teaching, the Pharisees came by with a woman. This woman was what we today would call a common prostitute. She had been caught in the very act of adultery. So the Pharisees, appearing to be very proud, said to Jesus, Jesus, what should we do with a woman like this? According to the law of Moses, she should be stoned, die, killed. But what do you say? And then our Lord said, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Then John tells us that he knelt down and he began to mark the sand and so forth. Why did he do that? Perhaps he was giving them a little bit of time to think about what they had said and to see the cruelty of their words. He tried to have them draw a picture of what it would be like if they had taken outside of the courts this woman, and picked up stones and had beaten her with them until she finally died. Would they have felt better that night? Would they have appeared more righteous to those who were round about them? But instead, no one threw a stone. Then after a while, Jesus lifted up his head and said to the accused woman, did anyone throw a stone at you? And she replied, no one, sir. And then Jesus uttered these words, and this is gospel, friend. Neither do I condemn you. This is a fruit of the gospel. Go now, as a forgiven woman. Go now and leave your life of sin. Why do you think that our Lord was so abrupt with the Pharisees who brought the woman to Jesus? Don't you think he was in agreement with them that this woman's life was an unworthy lifestyle and contrary to the way of God? Do you think he was trying to cover up her adultery? Of course he wasn't. He was far more concerned about this woman's lifestyle than those men who brought her. But it was their motive in bringing the woman. It was what was within their heart. They had no great love for that woman. She could live or die, whatever. They could care less. No, they were not even probably so concerned about her lifestyle, because they probably figured she is so deeply enrooted in this sin that no one in the world could ever change her. Well, why did they do it? They were using this woman to trap Jesus. You see, if Jesus had said to them, well, take her out and kill her, then he would have been contradictory. The people could have said, you preach love, and you would treat a human being like this. What's wrong with you? There's the inconsistency of your life. Also, if he had said, go ahead and kill her, the Roman authorities would have been on Jesus' back, because only Rome and those who represented Rome could give a death sentence. See, their motive was terrible. They were described in that parable that I read to you from the gospel. Harsh words of our Lord. But he said the Pharisees were like whitewashed tombs. Outside they appeared to be so beautiful, so great, so holy, so wonderful. But inside they had hearts that were corrupt, that were filled with hatred and anger and cruelty and all the rest. What Jesus is trying to say to them is this: our motive for actions is the all-important. And that, I believe, is partially the meaning to that word, that beatitude, as we come down the list in our study of this portion of God's Word, where the Savior says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I have found that a rather difficult portion of Scripture to interpret and to make sure that it is exactly what our Lord intended. The commentators, if you read on this particular subject, will vary in their understanding of it. But I have chosen this: blessed are those whose motives are pure, for they are the people who will see God acting right here on this earth. Our Lord was angry with mixed emotions. For example, if you'll permit me, I'd like to read to you from the 6th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 2. So then, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That is not what God wants. By your giving, you may be given over to the Lord and give it in secret. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. The innermost parts of the heart, that's the way God wants it to be. Our good works are not necessarily, they are not at all intended to bring great glory to us, but rather they are to bring glory to God. Few things that we do in life, I find, are without mixed motives. That is a sad story, but it is nevertheless true. So today Jesus says to us, examine your motives, and then ask, are they pleasing to God? Or are we trying to impress people? We live in a day, and Maybe it's always been that way, where there is a great deal of superficiality. And isn't it strange that that is found also in the church? You know, sometimes, people, the honesty of a little child really reveals things that hurt us. A father or a mother can appear to be very, very nice people when they're out with the crowd. They're trying to gain the favor of people. We all do that, don't we? But sometimes, inside, they are different. About some of these people who they now are appearing to win over and gain their favor, they are most critical. And a little child observing what dad and mom said inside regarding a person, and what they hear saying to their mom and dad saying to the person when they are in the presence of that individual, is so entirely different. And the child has to ask the question, didn't you say this about them at home? Why did you say something different when you were with them? Examine the motives. The only way, friend, that it can be overcome, these impure motives, is that we live in a personal relationship with God. It is only then that our Christianity will become more genuine day by day. It is only then that we will begin to really be true, true to God, and away with our superficiality. We know that it is so difficult to do. I will never forget one day when I served on the school board. There was a school administrator who had been very unfairly and critically dealt with by another person in the community. The person's criticism of our superintendent had made me terribly uncomfortable. And so I began to say, you know, I never saw that side of the man before. He must have been tired. There must have been something that was really bothering him. And I made all kinds of excuses, and the school superintendent let me go on. And finally, when I got all done, you know, he said, I understand what my critic is saying. Obviously, I do not agree on this particular issue, but his motive is very good. He wants the very best for the boys and the girls in this school district. I don't think he's on the right track at all, but I would never question him for a minute because his motives are very good. In this conversation, the superintendent then said to me, and he was an elderly man, you know, I have learned this. We must judge people by their motives and not by their actions. Their actions might be wrong, but their motives might be pure. Their actions might be wrong, but their motives might be pure. This does not mean that we forsake our own conviction. This does not say that we give in, simply that there can be peace and harmony. But it makes us more understanding of those who oppose us. It makes us a bit more tolerant. It makes us more charitable sometimes to our leaders. I find myself real often criticizing the President of the United States. I sometimes do not share some of his legislation. But when I stop and think at the end of the day, the pressure that this man is under, all of the information that he has that I do not have, then I wonder, is it fair? Be he Democrat or Republican, is it fair? Maybe I ought to try a little bit harder by the grace of God to evaluate his legislation by his motives. Then we might be more true. Then we may be more God-pleasing. And so Jesus, as he preached that Sermon on the Mount, looked out at the crowd. They had assembled on the mountainside, and they were listening to the Lord. And I kind of believe that somewhere in that crowd, he picked out a few people who you could see from the very beginning were very, very concerned about what Jesus was saying. And he said to them, "Blessed are you, for you have come here to listen to me for the right reason. There is a longing in your heart. There is a longing in your heart to know more about God. And if you will just continue with me in my teaching, you will see the hand of God. For you know what he will say to you? He will say, 'Sir, you are a sinner, but I love you very much. I sent into this world my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the cross of Calvary, he died for your sins. If you will repent of your sins and trust him as your Savior and Lord, they will be forgiven, and you will be restored into fellowship with God, both now and forevermore. And then as you live with him, in his word and in his church and with his people, you'll grow in that faith. And suddenly you'll begin to understand that your motives change. For he who walks with God is always examining what his motives really are. And if they not be pleasing to God, then he is anxious that they be changed.'" That's what the Beatitude tells us. Blessed are they who are pure in heart. For those people will see God acting in their lives and in the lives of many other people. Amen. Father in heaven, your word cuts right into our hearts. For here you are able to show us how superficial even those of us who bear the name of Christ can sometimes be, saying one thing and doing another. Lord, we know that it is in love that you are often harsh in what you have to say. And so when you liken us to whitewashed tombs, then, O God, we know it is only love and not anger that is trying to give us a picture of ourselves. Grant, O God, that we may be given the grace to examine our motives in all that we do and see if they are pleasing to you. Grant that we may judge our own actions that way, and grant that we may judge the actions of others that way. Maybe they have made all kinds of errors, as have we. But what were the motives? Lord, grant that we may have heard your voice speaking. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in his 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.